So we are in this series called Swipe Right. And the whole concept behind this series is that we're comparing God's way of love and relationships and dating and intimacy compared with what culture says, because culture has this idea that everything is meant to be surface. And so when everything is like that, you know, if it's attracted to you on the physical and on the surface, man, you got to swipe right on that. Like the whole terminology swipe right means to accept something. It means to approve of something. And so the whole concept behind this series is that when we compare and contrast God's way with the world's way, that we won't swipe right on what the world says is the right way to do things, but that we will ultimately swipe right on God's way when it comes to love and intimacy and relationships. And so I would also encourage all of us who, you know, you have children, your parents in here, and if your child is maybe, you know, fifth grade and under, this is a very real series. It's respectful, but it's real, you know what I mean? It's a great opportunity to take advantage of our kids' experience if you want. But if you want to keep them here, that's cool. Hey, you know what? It's nothing wrong with, if they're going to hear something for the first time, let it be in God's word. I mean, hey, you know, I mean, it's going to be make for an interesting conversation later on, but it's cool. Give them the gospel. But swipe right is kind of what we're diving into today. And so we're getting into part three of this message series, and I'm excited about today's message, because today's message is going to be something that I believe speaks to us today. Are y'all ready for it? Are y'all ready for it? So we're going to be kind of having a very practical message today that's going to speak to dating, and I'm calling today's message, Shoot Your Shot. Everybody say, shoot your shot. Tell the person beside you, shoot your shot. Amen. Shoot your shot. Appreciate you, brother. Y'all make some noise for Lawrence, our worship director, doing an incredible job. Come on, y'all do better than that. It's an awesome job leading our worship ministry. Shoot your shot. Now, last week we talked about living single, and we talked about what it means to be single. That biblically, living single or being single means that you are unmarried. Means that you have not said I do in front of a pastor, in front of, you know, some witnesses, in front of a judge, but you have not come together in holy matrimony. We talked about that last week, and if you missed that, I would highly encourage you to go listen to that. But in order to get to marriage as a single, there has to be some sense of agreement and commitment to another person. And that is where we enter into a stage called dating. Some may call it courting. Nonetheless, y'all seeing each other. And what I've come to realize is that when it comes to dating and, you know, and being committed to each other, this is something that I think has been kind of hijacked by culture. And so when you do what culture does, you get the results of culture. And if we could just be honest, I don't think the results of culture are really working out that well. It oftentimes leads to a lot of broken hearts, to a lot of dysfunction, to a lot of pain that I don't believe God wants us to really experience. We are going to experience trouble in this world. Jesus says that in this life you will have many troubles. But I believe that there are some pains that we can avoid, especially in dating. I believe that we can set ourselves up to experience God's best when it comes to dating, but we got to swipe right on God's way when it comes to even something like dating. Now, in case you're married here and, you know, you're like, man, this doesn't apply to me, or maybe you're not even interested in dating, I want us to understand that this is a message that applies to all of us, whether you're a student in here, whether you're a young adult, whether you're single with kids, widowed, divorced, even those who are married. And next week, we're going to talk about marriage and God's picture, beautiful picture of what marriage is. But I want to give just a little bit of wisdom right now for those who are married. Married couples, I want to encourage you, do not stop dating your spouse just because you said I do. Make that a priority. Like, put on your calendar date night. Make that a prioritize. Prioritize regular time together where you go out and you do something fun together. I'd say at least twice a month. If you could do it every week, that's cool. But at least twice a month where you're having time together as husband and wife and you're connecting with one another. Dating is such an important thing in marriage, but doing it God's way, especially if you're single in here and you're looking to be with somebody, you feel like God wants you to be with somebody, we got to do it God's way. I'll say it like this. Dating can be a season of joy when done God's way, or a season of dysfunction when not. So it can be a great joy, or it can be a great pain. So what does the Bible say when it comes to dating? What are some principles that should guide us when looking to be in a relationship with someone? How do we go about pursuing a relationship with someone? Because the Bible does say, you know, now that we're new creatures, we don't do things that we may have used to do. So that should even, you know, pass on down to how we date people. So if I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm trying to follow Jesus and honor him, it should also change how I date. So like, I shouldn't be in a relationship with Jesus, but then date the same way that I used to prior to me knowing Jesus. Or maybe I wasn't as mature in my faith as I am now in Christ, but now that I'm mature, I should be doing some things differently. Now, I'm going to just be honest. The Bible doesn't speak a whole lot about dating. And the reason for that is because the culture in which God revealed himself through his scriptures was a little bit different. But there are principles all throughout scripture that I believe God gives us for us to apply when it comes to living, but especially dating. Oftentimes when it comes to dating, we swipe right on what culture says. Culture says date somebody who looks good, smells good. Ladies, like, you got to find that man who got them good old waves. Got that good hair. Ladies, you got to find that man who got all the money. He got to be going somewhere with his life. He got to be able to fine dine you. He got to be able to take you to Ruth Chris. $100 meals. If he can't do that, drop him. Right? Culture says, guys, you got to find a young lady. You got to find a woman who's the best looking woman out of everybody. She got to look a certain way. Can we be real? She got to be shaped a certain way. Y'all, it's a little too red at 9:30 service. That's what culture says. That they have to be in a certain package. They got to be in a certain income bracket. So culture goes just in obsession mode over all of these things that, if we could be honest, can change at the drop of a hat. Looks can change at the drop of a hat. Income can change at the drop of a hat. Status can change at the drop of a hat. Where you live can change at the drop of a hat. And so culture says, just swipe right on all these different types of things, because if it looks good, it must be good. Culture says that when it comes to dating, you got to shoot your shot a certain way. Because if you don't shoot your shot on the person who looks good, you're missing out. But God says, no, I don't have a problem with you shooting your shot, but I want you to shoot your shot the right way. Shoot your shot is a phrase that is oftentimes, you know, used to go after something, especially even in the dating world. Like, hey, man, you need to shoot your shot. That might be the one. Don't miss your shot. Michael Jordan said you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Shoot your shot. Kobe, shoot your shot. Gotta pull the trigger. But we gotta learn how to shoot a shot. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with dating. Like, I don't think you just wake up one day and say, hey, will you marry me? Unless you're Adam. He just woke up. You are my wife. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. That calling is not on your life. That was pre-fallen world. We in a fallen world. You can't do that now. You will mess your life all to pieces. Go to H&M tomorrow, the day after service is done, and say, hey, God told me you're going to be my wife. Will you marry me? Like, no. And call the cops on you, bro. We got to shoot our shot, but we got to do so the right way. I love this terminology, shoot your shot, because, you know, it speaks of basketball especially, and I love basketball. If you're new here, man, like, I love basketball. I watch it all the time, talk about it, played in high school and, you know, all through middle school, and just, like, I love basketball. And when it comes to shooting your shot, and when it comes to learning how to shoot your shot, let's just talk about shooting your shot. I've been around basketball enough. I was playing basketball with some guys yesterday. I usually do that on Saturdays, just to kind of connect with some dudes and try to, you know, I try to use basketball to reel them into Jesus. Like, hey, I'm going to give you these jumpers. If I beat you, you're going to come to church tomorrow? That's the type of stuff I do. And they be playing hard, fouling me, like, I ain't coming to church with you, man. I'm going to do whatever it takes. But it's always interesting, right? Because when we get on the court and we're playing basketball, Ariel, can you hit me my basketball right there under the seat? Like everybody has a very different way of shooting. Oh, you ain't shoot your shot the right way, girl. Yeah, shoot your shot. That's my wife. I just want y'all to know. But it's always interesting because, you know, there's always guys on the court, like, they have just some crazy form. You got some guys that just shoot like this, and you got some guys that shoot like this. Some of y'all got scared because you thought I was going to lose the ball right there. But, I mean, it's just weird. You know, you got people who hold the ball like this. I don't know how you can shoot it like that. Then you got some people who shoot like that. And it's just really weird. And it's no surprise that usually the guys who have and people who have, like, some of the worst form don't make the shots. Which tells me something about shooting your shot, that you gotta have the right form and fundamentals. Because if you don't have the right form and fundamentals, you may make some shots, but you're gonna miss a whole lot more than you actually make. You're not, let me say it like this, you won't be as accurate with your shot as you could be. And we don't just wanna shoot a shot just for the sake of saying we shot a shot. No. We wanna be accurate. We wanna get it right. Like, if I'm taking 10 shots, I want to at least try to make 5 to 6 of them, not go 0 for 10. That's not cool. And ain't nobody going to pick you up on the squad. There's been so many times, man, I've been playing basketball, and we'll just be sitting on the sideline trying to figure out who we're going to pick. We are not picking him. We are not picking her. We are not picking them. He's too small. He don't got no jumper. He too big. He don't got no jumper. We're not picking them. That one right there, oh my gosh, they killing everything. We want him. Because there's an accuracy to what they're doing. And when it comes to dating, you want to be approaching it from the standpoint of not what culture says is good, but what's accurate according to what God says. What actually lines up with what God says. So I want to give us some principles when it comes to dating. And I think this is applicable no matter for what season you're in. Maybe you're a widow, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're married, maybe you are just single, maybe you're 20, you're 30, I don't know where you are, but I think all of these things are important. Well, one of the things that my basketball coach taught me throughout my years, I had a trainer, you know, when I was playing high school ball, middle school ball, he was always working me out, but there were some key fundamentals that he kind of gave me that I find to be very interesting because they correlate with scripture that I think are applicable to dating. And one of the first things that he always said was aim high. Everybody say aim high. Aim high. In other words, like you shouldn't be shooting your shot down here. Aim high. Because if you're not aiming high, then you're more than likely going to miss all of your shots. Now, for some of us, that doesn't give you a visual, but camera, follow me really quick. but this right here might help you kind of see what I mean, right? Right? So I want to help us see kind of what some of us are doing, right? So when it comes to dating, right, we're not actually aiming high like we should, nor are we shooting with a regulation ball. Like we should when it comes to dating, but rather, we shooting low. Shooting low. Like where there's no sense of accuracy. And let me say it like this, I'm not shooting at the level that I should be shooting at. So what's happening now in culture, and if we're not careful, we can do this as followers of Christ. Instead of us using a regulation ball and a regulation goal of 10 feet, in dating, what we often do is we'll lower the standard. We'll lower it, and we'll just keep lowering it. Oh, that's not going to work. these little Fisher-Price things are highly advanced today. So instead of settling for 10 feet, oh man, that's too high. I don't know if I'll be able to find somebody who meets that type of criteria. So I'll just lower my standard. I'll lower my standard. Or what'll happen is we won't be consistent with the standard. So you may have a regulation ball, but you're shooting on a very low rim. And what the devil does is he tricks us into thinking, oh, you made a shot. Oh, my goodness. On a low standard? Really? But I had a regulation ball, though. Like, oh, my goodness, I'm putting in work. Oh, Kobe. On a low standard, though? And what happens is when it comes to dating, we get okay, we, like, especially for those of us who may be a little bit older and you've dated a few times and it hasn't worked out, what the enemy will do is try to convince you, like, you know what? Just lower your standard. Lower your standard, because when you lower your standard, then the options will be many. God says, no. I'm your shooting coach. I don't want you to aim low. I want you to aim high. And I know that aiming high may not get you all of the options, quote unquote, like everybody else has. I know that aiming high may not be the most popular thing to do, because now it's just a matter of, if you like somebody, hook up with them. If they look good, hook up with them. It doesn't matter if you have a standard or not. We'll work all that stuff out later. But as long as they look good to you, just go hook up with them. That's not God's way of doing things. That God says, I don't want you to lower the goal just for the sake of making a shot. Do not think that you got to compromise who you are in Christ to be with someone. Do not lower yourself to a worldly standard just so you can be with someone. I want to encourage us today to play at God's regulation and standard when it comes to not just life, but also dating. Don't settle for less. Scripture says like this. I love it. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Do you see the difference in the standard? Because man has the standard. Oh, man, it looks good. It's a basketball goal. It's got a net. It's got a rim. Oh, this must be good. God's like, no. You looking at that. I'm looking at something at a whole nother level. And what happens now when it comes to dating, we often function with the same principle. So we get obsessed and we fall in love with the outward appearance of things. But God says, I don't want you to be approaching dating from an external lens. I want you to approach dating from an eternal perspective. I would call it like this. This first aspect of aiming high, it means godly priorities. It means that I prioritize the standard of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So when it comes to dating, don't copy the customs and behavior of this world. So whatever culture says to do, go the opposite direction. Culture says do this, God's standard is the complete opposite. When it comes to choosing somebody to date, don't aim low. Aim high. What does this look like practically? It means that Scripture in 1 Corinthians talks about Paul. He was writing to the church of Corinth, and he says things like, do not be yoked with an unbeliever. He was talking about that in the context of marriage. So the only way I can marry somebody who's an unbeliever must have meant that I had to date somebody who was an unbeliever. So we reverse engineer it. The only way I can get in an ungodly relationship in marriage is I had to be in an ungodly relationship in dating. Does this make sense? So Paul is like, hey, get it right in dating. Don't date somebody who don't know Jesus. I know that's a real direct this morning, and you may not have had enough coffee for that one yet, but the standard is high. Don't settle for somebody who's not a believer. So here's some questions I want you to begin to ask for those of us who are thinking about dating, maybe those of us who are dating. How is their relationship with God? How's the relationship with Jesus? Are they a part of a local church? That's a big one. I just don't believe in the church. You know what I mean? I love Jesus, but I don't really love the church. Well, you can't do that. You can't say you love me, but don't love my wife. Jesus and his church are one. Are they a part of a local church? Are they focused on doing God's will? Do they aim to live a life that honors God? Do they take care of their responsibilities? And are they responsible? Those are some of the questions I want you to ask. But here's a big thing that I really want you to do in the season of dating. I want you to pray about it. I know that sounds like, that's not what eHarmony will tell you to do. I get it. Pray? No, you don't need to pray. Just pull the trigger, shoot your shot. No, we got to do that a certain way. Pray about whether or not, two things. Pray about whether or not God wants you to be dating right now. Because maybe God don't want you dating. Pray about the person that you are thinking about dating. Pray about that. Ask God, God, would you show me if this is the person that you really want me to be with? Because I'm looking at the outward appearance, but you see the heart. Help me to discern who it is that I should be with. And let me give us another piece of advice as it relates to this. Don't just date for fun. You can have fun in dating, but don't date for fun. Because the whole purpose of dating is to prepare you for marriage. So we don't recreationally date. I'm gonna just let that sit right there. I feel like there's some oil on that one. we don't date for fun. No, we date with a purpose in mind. Like to achieve a goal and to step into possibly a new season. And if you're dating someone or interested in someone and they're not in a growing relationship with God, I would ask you to prayerfully reconsider whether you should be with them. You need to think about that. Don't wreck your life in marriage because you ended up with somebody that God never wanted you to be with. Because once y'all say I do, it's till death do you part. So let's get it right in the dating season so that if it leads to the marital season, it's a joy. It doesn't mean that there won't be issues and struggles, but it's more of a joy than it is a burden. Like let's get it right in dating so that way we can experience it, because God's will for us to be married, so that way we can experience God's best. One of the things that Ariel and I did when we were dating, we started dating around 04 in the early part of college, is, you know, early on in our relationship, we kind of found ourselves being very focused on each other. Like, we loved each other and, you know, always spending all this time with each other and just, you know, always going out, talking at like 3, 4 in the morning. You know how you be on the phone and, you know, one person falls asleep and all you hear is, you know, but you don't want to hang up because I just want to hear you breathe, you know. It's creeper, man. It's like... It's not romantic, that's creepy. The things you do for love, you know, like, but we felt kind of convicted by God because we felt like we were spending too much time with each other. And it was beginning to interfere a little bit with our walk with God. So we made this decision, I think it was around 2 years into us dating, around 05, I think, that we would not talk to each other at all in the course of a day until we had first spent time with God. And I remember one time, I can't remember who it was, but one of us had called the other person and asked, like, hey, you know, how was your devotional? And, like, would God speak to you? And you know, how was your time with God? And the other person was like, I ain't really spend no time with God. Click. I'll talk to you later. But because the foundation of every relationship is meant to be Jesus. So we build it on Jesus. And it always comes back to him. Here's another thing I want you to do. I want you to begin to observe. Observe and investigate this particular person. You know, if you need to investigate them by going all up and down their feed on Instagram and on Facebook, do it. Look at all their pictures. Look at it. They'll tell you a story now. Look at their IG stories. See the stuff that they post. This will be a great indicator whether or not this is somebody who possibly could meet the criteria of me dating them. If they're posting a whole bunch of reckless stuff, you know that's not the person God wants you to be with. That's just facts. Yeah, it's a little tough today, huh? Maybe online can give me some amens. You got to investigate it. You got to observe it. And here's what you're looking for. Does their character look like Jesus? Here's what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those are characteristics of Jesus. Do they have these type of characteristics? Because if they don't have these type of characteristics, or at least growing in these characteristics, this is probably not somebody I need to be with, or at least at the very least be with right now. And don't fall into the trap of the enemy saying, but if you hook up with them, they'll grow spiritually. That's called missionary dating. God has called you to be a missionary, but not in dating. You need to begin to examine, do they look like Jesus? Interpret it and observe how they act in group settings. How are they when they're around groups? How do they treat people that they don't need? How do they treat the waiter or the waitress at the restaurant when they don't get their food on time? I can't believe they trifling so. This how you talk about people behind their back? Some of us like, man, that's the one. Yep, that hit hard right there. You need to begin to observe that? Is their life moving forward? Here's a big one. What are their interactions like with the opposite gender? Are they kind of flirtatious with somebody of the opposite sex? Do they kind of say some things that are, you know, kind of risque a little bit, but say, but girl, you know I love you? They just a friend. A friend with benefits, right? Also, let me say this, and this one might get me in trouble. You might not like me for this, but I promise you it's going to help you. Be careful with dating somebody whose best friend is of the opposite gender. Here's the reason why. Because what will naturally happen is you will end up competing with this person. And we oftentimes don't know how to navigate that type of space. I'm not saying that you just totally cut that person off, but there should be a distinction and there should be some sense of priority when it comes to you and when it comes to them. And so if I'm a guy and I'm interested in a young lady and I'm dating a young lady, if this is the person God wants me to be with, and she hangs out with a lot of guys, you need to be concerned. Yes. Because that means she's looking for validation other than getting it from Jesus. If you're a young lady and you're looking to date somebody or you're dating somebody and he hangs out with nothing but women, you need to be careful with that, because that more than likely is a very insecure man who needs the validation from other women that he can only get from a godly man and Jesus himself. I'm just trying to give us real facts right here. I've seen this derail people's lives. I've seen this wreck marriages, where a husband and wife, you know, will have a husband may have a best friend of somebody of the opposite gender. I've seen that wreck people's lives, where infidelity took place. But it all started with, oh, they my best friend. So you and your best friend hanging out at the crib but your wife ain't there. Oh, ain't nothing going to happen. And then we really try to, you know, dress it up. Oh, they just my sister. Really? You touch your sister like that? You look at your sister like that? These are the type of traps that the enemy sets for us. I talked 2 weeks ago about thirst traps. These are the type of thirst traps that the enemy sets for us. They're snares, and if we don't recognize them, what'll happen is we end up falling prey to these type of things. Here's another thing I want to encourage us to do when it comes to having godly priorities is you need to begin to ask other godly people around you what they see in this person. Because you can't just go based upon your own interpretation and your own wisdom, because you got blind spots. So you need to have other, if you're a man, you need to have other godly men. Hey, what do you think about her? If you're a woman, you need to have other godly women and sisters in Christ who you can ask, like, hey, what do you think about him? You need to be able to get their input. The Bible says that plans succeed for it with a multitude of counsel. And one of the dangerous things about dating is we end up doing it by ourselves. And then we end up getting wrecked. God says, I don't want you to do that. You need people around you that can help you see blind spots in that thing. Like, hey, he kind of talked to you in an inappropriate way. Like, hey, you know, she's cool, but she's very flirtatious with other guys. Oh, you know, she's just friendly. Okay. You need to listen to those people that God has placed around you. This is one of the greatest reasons why we have connect groups. So that way you can build godly relationships with people who will give you godly wisdom. And you need to be in a connect group if you're not already one. If you're part of our church, you've been coming here for longer than a week, you need to get in a group. Because you need godly people around you who will encourage you and who will help give you wisdom. Because God, if he has somebody for you, that person is not going to be somebody that God's going to send into your life to draw you away from him. The person that God truly has for you is going to be somebody who draws you closer to him. They're going to push you in your relationship with God. I'll say it like this. The person God has for you won't cause you to take a step back, but to take a step up. So when Ariel and I were dating, there were so many things that God used in our relationship in the dating season to grow me up. One of the simplest things was time management. I was a night owl. She was a morning person. In college, like, I had afternoon classes because of that very reason. Like, I feel like I'm just waking up at 11 o'clock. She's like, dude, you know, the half the day gone. It's only 11 o'clock. I'm like, girl, I got the whole day. But then God, through that, matured me. Like, man, you need to be a better steward of your time. And that grew me in my relationship with God. If the person that you're with is not helping you grow closer to God, then you got to begin to ask the question, is this really a gift from God? Because the gifts that God gives draw you back to him. So if I'm dating somebody, is this somebody who's causing me to draw closer to Jesus? If you are dating somebody or thinking about dating somebody and you got to constantly pull them up, constantly do this, constantly do that, you might need to reconsider whether or not this is the person God wants you to be with. We would call that dead weight. And it's hard to carry dead weight. Try going up a mountain. Try hiking with dead weight. It makes it very difficult. God says, no, I don't want it to be like that. I want you to be with somebody that matches my priorities. Here's another thing. I got a few moments left, and I want to move to this one because this is the one that really just, I think, derails relationships, and I think it's something that we deal with when it comes to dating especially. I think it's something that we deal with all seasons, but especially with dating for this relationship series. And that is when it comes to taking our shot, one of the things that my coach also used to tell me was take your time. Don't rush a shot. In other words, godly pace. You got godly priorities when it comes to dating, but you also need to have a godly pace when it comes to dating. What do I mean by godly pace? In basketball, when you rush your shot, there's a high percentage of possibility that you're going to miss your shot. If you are taking a basketball and you just take it and then you just shoot it, but you don't take your time, you're probably going to miss it 10 times out of 10. But when you actually get that ball, set your feet, and go through your whole entire motion, you have a very high chance of making your shot because your pace is right. I have a saying that we say to our kids in the house, be quick, but don't hurry. Be quick, but don't hurry. Move quickly, but don't hurry. Because when you hurry, that's when stuff starts going wrong. When we're helping the kids with the homework, I know you want to do it fast, and that's cool. You know, I mean, don't take forever, so it's okay. Be quick with it, but don't hurry. Because when you hurry, now you're trying to write your name, and it just looks like Hebrew. Is that a J? That looks like a P, bro. J-O. That's not no O. That's an E. Because oftentimes, what happens is we fall into the trap of hurrying. And in dating, we end up falling into these traps that the enemy has set because we end up moving at a pace that God doesn't want us to move at. Rushing our shot, which leads to us missing our shot or missing the mark. Do you know what the word missing the mark actually is in the Bible? Sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. And oftentimes what happens is we miss the mark because we move at a pace that God doesn't want us to ultimately move at. So Galatians chapter 5 says it like this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Some of you guys heard the saying, you know, don't get ahead of God? Maybe you heard of that. Here's the thing. I don't really think you can get ahead of God because he goes before you, he's behind you, and he's with you. I do believe you can get out of step with God. So for instance, if you're dancing, music is playing, he moving, but you all off beat. Your step is just, you got two left feet. Just out of step. And I think oftentimes what happens even when dating comes, we're not careful when it comes to keeping in step with the pace of God. And when we rush, we hurry things and we're always prone to miss the mark. And so how does this look like? If you're on your first date, you should not already be talking about marriage. Say these two words with me. Slow down. Slow down. Y'all just met yesterday. Now, you may have received some revelation from the third heaven on high from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the God the Father himself, but you still need to take your time. Move at a healthy pace. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heaven. You know what that's all about? Pace. Timing. Pace. Timing. And oftentimes what the enemy wants us to do in dating is to rush the pace. So he'll get us and tempt us to do some things in dating that we should only be doing in the next season. So what does this mean for us? That means we need to set some boundaries when it comes to dating. This is where it gets really tight and sticky. It means we need to set some boundaries. It means I need to avoid anything that could cause me to fall in sin. You know what Jesus says in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark? He says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Right? He doesn't say try to severage it. He says cut it off. And here's the imagery there. If your eye causes you to sin, in other words, what you see, if that causes you to sin, you need to remove it. If your hand causes you to sin, in other words, the things that you do, if that causes you to sin or leads to a possibility of sin, you need to remove it. If your feet cause you to sin, that's the places that you go. If that can lead to some sinful activity where you miss the mark of God, let it go. Cut it off. So how does this apply to dating? You ready? It means you need to begin to avoid things that can lead to other things that aren't meant for you to experience in this season. It means you need to avoid the overnight visits. Thought my mic went out right there, huh? Nope. You need to avoid some of the vacationing together where it's just the two of y'all. Oh, I get it. Pastor, I'm good. Like, I'm strong in the Lord. Been many a strong man in the scriptures who thought the same thing and fell. Pride always comes before the fall. And just because you did it one time and nothing happened does not mean that the same thing will happen the next time. I want you to understand the enemy likes to set traps where he makes you think you're winning. Oh, we making shots. We good. We good. We dodged that bullet until you missed the shot and missed the mark. You need to avoid some of those things. I want to encourage us, if you're dating, to set a time when someone goes home. Yes, I'm a grown man, grown woman. You ain't going to tell me to have no curfew. It's about, is it wise for you not? No Netflix and chill. Need to avoid that. Here's another one. Limit touch and avoid inappropriate touching. Limit that. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, run down this list of all the specific things. I'm trying to give you wisdom as to how to shoot your shot properly in this season. Limit touch. Avoid inappropriate touching. Why? Because almost 100% of the time, it leads to sexual activity. And in the season of dating, let me just give you the Cliff Notes version. There should be no sexual activity. That's just a scripture. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm perfect. I'm saying this because God's word is perfect. And he knows what's best for us. Avoid all types of sexual contact in this season. All. Everybody say all. All. That's only for the season of marriage, which we'll talk about next week. Like, avoid all of that. And here's another one that's a big contributor to sexual activity in the dating season. It is living together. Do you really think if you were living in the same space with somebody who looks good to you, even if they are a godly person and you're attracted, do you really think, stop being fake, do you really think if you live in the same house as them that ain't nothing going to eventually happen? I'm talking about like you attracted to them and you like them. You really think, oh, we can live together, we ain't gonna do nothing, we just gonna do Bible study together, really? Gonna fast and pray. You really think? You think so? Eventually, something will happen. Eventually, you will cross the line. And some of us may be thinking, well, Pastor, where is the line? If you're asking the question, where is the line, you have already gone on the wrong path. Because the question should not be, where is the line? The question should be, God, how can I honor you in this season? So, this is a season where y'all don't live together. I get it in today's time. Oh, man, you know, finances is tough. It's cheaper to just live together. I get that. But your calling is worth so much. Your purity is worth a lot more than a $1,000 mortgage. You got to cut it off in this season. Statistics actually say this. 50 to 80% likelihood of those who live together, those marriages eventually end in divorce compared to those who have never cohabitated. Here's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. Verse 3, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. That word sexual immorality is the word Greek word porneia. It is where we get the English word pornography. It is any type of sexual activity that takes place outside of the confines of God's ordained place called marriage. And Paul says there shouldn't even be a hint. Don't even let there be a small talk of it. Avoid it. We talked a few weeks ago about thirst traps and how sex is a great gift, but it's meant to be used in the kingdom of God. It's meant to be used, rather, in the gift of marriage. And God says, I want you to steward this gift properly. And I don't want you to fall into the trap of what culture says in practicing having safe sex. Condoms and Plan B. That ain't God's will. I remember as a youth pastor, I had some conversations with some parents, and we were talking about this whole topic of purity. And they were like, Pastor, you know, I tell them God's word, and we tell them what they're supposed to do. But I just want them to be smart, too. So I tell them, you know, if you're going to do this, you know, at least be smart about it. I said, so it's like you telling them, if you're going to rob a bank, at least make sure you got a fast car to get away. No, we're not condoning this on any level. I'm not going to give you a way of escape out of your sin, or I'm not going to give you a license to sin by showing you how you can avoid the consequences of it. I'm not going to co-sign with that. So what is safe sex biblically? Abstinence, purity. That in this season, I'm going to honor God. And I know for some of us in here, this is a tough one because, man, you may kind of reflect and you might be like, man, Pastor, I've messed up. I think we all have. I think we've all dropped the ball in some capacity, but thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of God that he forgives all of our sins through the blood of Jesus. So even if you've messed up, you can come to Christ and have your sins washed away and start fresh. But God says, I want you to live, and I want you to swipe the right way, and I want you to move at a godly pace. And I like what Paul says here. He even says this thing called coarse joking. What does he mean by that? Inappropriate or sexually charged jokes. Flirtatious type talk. There is power of life and death in your mouth. Your words mean something. Your mouth can get you in a whole lot of trouble if you're not careful. And Paul says, I don't even want y'all talking about this thing in an improper and impure way. And if you hear somebody talking about it, shut it down. Because this thing can lead to something so bad. And Paul is saying here, I want you to honor God when it comes to your relationships. I want you to honor God when it comes to this. And so what should you be doing in your dating season? Cultivate an environment of love and honor. If you're a guy and you're dating a young lady, treat her like a sister in Christ, respectfully. If you are a sister in Christ, treat that brother like a brother in Christ. Yeah, you guys may be dating and, you know, y'all got some affection for each other. This your bae. Before anyone else. Did a sermon last year called Baywatch. I get it. But understand, cultivate an environment of honor where you encourage each other to seek Jesus and honor him. Be life-giving in your words to each other. Be generous towards each other. Be respectful towards each other. Have fun with each other. Like, don't think that because I'm saying, like, you need to set boundaries that you can't have fun. No, man, go on some fun dates. Don't just do Bible study all the time. Go play laser tag. Like, go to the arcade, do something fun. Go paintball. I mean, do something fun. Enjoy yourselves. Yeah, you had your boundaries, but enjoy yourself. Me and Ari, when we were dating, man, like, we had mentors who told us this, like, hey, you know, like, keep your boundaries in place, honor God. But, man, y'all can have fun. God wants you to have fun and enjoy each other, especially if it's the precursor to marriage, because when you get married, it's not all Bible study all day. Enjoy each other. Go see a movie. Ariel, go see Avengers, even though you don't want to see action-filled movies. Edwin, go see them terrible rom-coms with Ariel, even though you don't want to, even though it's the same storyline in every single movie. The guy cheats on a girl, she forgives him, they get back together, they live happily ever after. Oh my gosh, oh, it's just so incredible. She forgave him. Let me tell you something, girl. Let me do that if you want to. No, I'm just joking. Just joking, I'm just kidding. But have fun, man. Have fun. Why? Because your relationship in this dating season should be an influence and an example to other people. Show the world how to date. Show them. So that way when your coworkers are like, man, y'all don't have sex? Y'all pure? Y'all like each other? We do. We don't just like each other, we actually love each other, which is why we honor each other. I don't know nothing about that. Man, teach me how that goes. Now you're being a light. You're being an example. In this season, which now leads me to my last point, and I'm done. The last thing about shooting your shot is having a follow-through. That's godly perseverance. What do I mean by that? You're going to go through some moments in your dating season that are going to be sometimes difficult. You're going to experience trials and temptations. Ariel and I were dating. We faced a lot of trials and we faced a lot of temptations. There's plenty of times where the enemy was throwing a whole lot of bait our way. And be real, keeping it 100, there was times we took the bait. And we failed and we were like, yo, we've kind of crossed some lines. We need to scale this thing back. We need to honor God. And you need to be able to understand that there's going to be some moments when you're dating where you're going to experience some difficult moments. There's going to be some days where y'all don't want to talk to each other. Somebody's going to make somebody mad. But if this is the person that God wants you to be with, you got to model that faithfulness in this season. And even if it doesn't end in marriage, still model faithfulness. Still honor God. Still honor that person. Because this faithfulness in this season is actually preparation for the marital season. Because if you can't be faithful in dating, more than likely you won't be faithful in being married. Which is why if you're in a relationship with somebody right now and they're sleeping with other people and they're cheating with you, it would be foolish for you to think that they would change that up when you get married right now. Maybe if we just get married, he'll love me. No. No. They show you who they are. Believe them right now. But it's going to be challenges. There's going to be tests. But the Bible has something good to say about that. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Dating is a test of faithfulness that prepares me for marriage. And I want you to understand something about tests. That God oftentimes uses good times to build confidence, but he uses difficult times to build character. And it's in those difficult moments, for those of us who are married as well, it is in those difficult moments that God is using that to develop your character to look more like Jesus. Because he is the faithful one. And we are called to be imitators of him. So we are faithful. Why? Because he himself is first faithful. So in this dating season, we want to be faithful to God. We want to honor God in this season. We want to honor God with our words. We want to honor God with our language. Jesus died and he rose so that way we can experience a greater way of life, not just in some things, but in all things, whether it's dating, whether it's married, whether it's after a divorce, whether it's widow, whether it's single with kids, married with kids. Jesus says, I have greater things in store for you. So much more. But that is oftentimes experienced on the other side of faithfulness. Faithfulness is not something that culture celebrates. Culture says if you get bored with it, drop them. Leave them. God says, no. Faithfulness is about staying committed in season and out of season. When it's comfortable and when it's chaotic. And we went through some tough times and difficult times. I remember Ariel, we were talking not too long ago, and she was like, there were so many moments where I was like, Lord, is there another? Is there another? You know, you being back in the old school church, and they, you know, extend Christ. Is there one? Is there another? I said, for you? Plenty of moments, girl, where I was like, girl, let me tell you something. The Lord has more than you. Nah, I ain't never say that. I never say that. But it's moments, man, where you're going to experience difficulty and trial. It's just real. And marriage ain't going to be no different. If anything, it's going to be worse. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Why? Because when they do, when they've stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those above him. I want you to understand something. When you date in a way that honors God, God's blessing is on your life. And even if the relationship doesn't work out, you two might be two godly people, and it just may not have been God's will. That's okay. But the one thing you both will be able to say is that, man, we tried our best to honor God, and it just wasn't his will. That's okay. That's cool. You ain't got to force it. And don't think that you got to marry somebody just because you've been with this person. If this is not who God wants you to be, that's okay. You got to trust and believe that your Father in heaven knows more about what's best for you than you. It's okay. And maybe in this season, if you're a single person, you know, you've been like, man, I want to be with somebody. I want to get with somebody. I need a boo. I want to go to these weddings like everybody else with somebody. I don't want to just go to the movies by myself every month. Like, I don't want to just go to Starbucks on my own and just have one cup of coffee. I want to have somebody. I feel you, man. I get it. And God understands that, and he feels that. But I want you to understand something. If God really wants this for you, and he wants marriage for you, there's some people who, like, God hasn't called you to be married. And that's okay. It's a gift. We talked about that last week. It's a gift of singleness. It's a gift of marriage. Don't try to force anything. Be spirit-led. Let God lead you. When it's time for God to say, it's not good for you to be alone any longer, let him send the person. Let him open up the door. Let him make it happen. Last thing, when Ariel and I, before we first started dating, I was talking to my mentor, and he knew Ariel, and he was our youth pastor, and I was like, hey, man, so, like, what do you think about Ariel? You know, like, she seemed pretty cool. Seemed pretty legit. Seemed like she loves Jesus. She has an anointing on her life. She's called by God. Nah, I didn't say all that. I said, man, she looked kind of cool. She looked all right. What you think about her? He's like, yo, Ariel, she legit, bro. She legit. Shoot your shot. Do it the right way. Do it the right way. Now here we are 16 years later. 3 children. God's faithfulness. It's God, man. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying, like, man, when we aim to do things God's way, man, that you cannot beat God's giving. He has so much more for you. But I don't want you to rush this season. I want you to stay in pace with God. I want you to shoot your shot the right way. Maybe right now God's telling you, I want you to pass the ball. What? The person that you think look good for you, that's actually for somebody else. Pass them to your friend. What, God? No. Why would you? I'm wide open. I'm available. Not your time. Pass the ball, bro. I'm trying to get my Cobra. I'm shooting wide open shots. I'm shooting on everybody. No. Pass the ball. Because that person is somebody else's mate. Don't try to hog a blessing that does not belong to you. Shot the right way. I got you. Time is coming. I got you. That's the word I want you to receive today. And when it's time, shoot your shot. When it's time, do it the right way. Honor God and watch him honor you. He has more in store for you than you could ever imagine. Some of us are like, man, Pastor, I've messed this whole thing all up right now. I'm dating somebody that I'm not supposed to be with. And I always had the feeling that I wasn't supposed to be with them. But now I'm really seeing it. What should I do? Leave them. It's simple. Like, leave them. If you know that's not the person God wants you to be with, don't try to negotiate it. God, I'm going to give you 10 days. No, God said, leave them. I've given you all the warning signs. Leave them. But God, I need this person. No, you need me. I got you. Lean on me. Depend on me. I'll take care of all your needs. That's what it's all about in this season. If you mess some things up, maybe you kind of overstep some boundaries you're dating and the whole purity thing, you know, you're living together right now. Pastor, what should I do? Let me give you some quick little premarital advice. Live somewhere else right now. Get out of it. Figure out a way. But Pastor, it's going to cost a lot. God will provide for whatever his will is. And his will is that you will be holy and wholesome, pure. He will open the door. I've never yet talked to a single person who said, I want to do God's will. And wholeheartedly, they said that and meant that, and he didn't provide. He's He's waiting on us to trust him. He's a good father. And I don't want you to think if you've messed up that God's in heaven like trying to strike you down. No, he's a good father. He says, man, y'all are missing it. I got so much more for you. And I want to bless you and I'm going to give you this, but I need you to step in line with my will. And I need you to do it according to the way that I've said it. Stop buying into what culture says. No, 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 follow me. Honor me. I will make things new. Had sex with that person that's not your husband, not your wife. You're not married yet. Come to me. I'll clean you up and get you right. Don't try to clean yourself up, then come to me. It doesn't work like that. Come to me. Let me purify. Let me cleanse you. I'll get you right. Make you into a new creature. Make you holy. Make you wholesome. Restore the things that the enemy has tried to steal from you. I make you into the person that I called you to be. So I want to pray with you, pray for you in this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have given us wisdom today as to how we should date and how we should carry ourselves in this season of dating. Whether we're single, whether we're married, I believe that this is spoken to all of us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live it out and apply it. I pray, God, for those right now who maybe have fallen short in this season. I think we all have missed the mark in some capacity. I pray that today that they would know that you are for them. And that any person who's in Christ is a new creature. That your grace is still sufficient. I pray that today for the person right now who is in a situation, whether they're watching online, listening at a further time, or here in this place in person, I pray right now for the person who is in a difficult moment. I pray that you would give them the courage to trust you and to step into your will, to align themselves with your word. We thank you, Jesus, that even when we mess up, even when we are not faithful, you are still faithful to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that our mistakes are not the end of us, but God, your grace is the beginning of new things. We thank you for that today. And I pray for that person right now. She would begin to restore them. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I want you to know that today God has more for you. God has greater for you. There is something amazing that God wants to do in your life. No matter where you are right now in this season of life, there is more that God has for you. And if you're saying today, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Jesus and I want to know him as my Lord and I want to know him as my Savior and I want to receive his forgiveness and I want to receive his love, today is the day for you to say yes to Jesus and to give him your life. And if that's you today, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to give me new life, to make me into a new creature. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together today for those who said yes to Jesus. Come on. Thank you.